because you are faithful. God is known to be consistently faithful. He fulfills his word. He may tarry, but you do fulfill your word. But I want to pray for your children as we have been praying for each other, but we're also thinking of the rest of the family of God everywhere, that your patience, the patience that comes through that gift of the Holy Spirit that we refer to as long-suffering, that will help us so that we will persevere like Abraham, not shrink back, and then inherit the promises. We pray, Lord, that in these difficult times, that we will not betray you or betray one another, that we will not hate one another. Iniquity will not abound in us, because you warned us, because of these difficult times, many. So they will turn against one another, they will betray one another, and the love of many will wax cold. But Lord, we bless you. You are our shepherd. When we're in this dark valley, your word says your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Bless you. Thank you for this fellowship. Always been home for us. Thank you, Lord, for all your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read Psalm 73. And of course, you know that I want to share with you on hope in these times. Hope in these times. And we've already started on it. So I'm not the one who started this theme. My wife has shared, and there's a lot. I also want to acknowledge that most of you have gone through many things and continue to go through many things. Families in different ways. Some you have not been able to express. Some you have expressed. And let me give you a picture. We know we always say we would like to go to the first century. We would like to build believers in the first century, right? Right? Okay, so let me tell you what the first century was like. So the first century believers had people like James, John, and Peter, right? You remember them? John, who eventually was in Patmos and received the book of Revelation, one day went to his mom and said, "They don't delete John, they don't delete James." Because James was beheaded by Herod. Just imagine John walking to his mom. You remember how they left to follow Jesus? Okay, this Jesus that you people are following, what are you going to gain from him? You remember it was that mother who came and said, "Let me ask for two things. This James that was supposed to be on one side, Herod deleted him." If you're not used to a worry pigeon, that's how they, you know, Herod killed him. But just imagine what John would say to his mother, say to his brother's wife and children, and say, "By the way, I'm going to be preaching the gospel in Asia. I'm going to be heading out." So this faith that we are inheritors of is described very well by Peter and James. We will go there. Let me read Psalm 73. It's a psalm of Asaph. So let me read it and listen to the emotion. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me," it's like, I know that God is good. God is good. It's good to those who are pure in heart. But me, as for me, let me tell you what happened. My feet had almost what? Slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied. That's what he said he did. I envied the arrogant. I envied the unrighteous, the wicked, the people. When I saw the way things go for them, the prosperity of the wicked, they have no struggles. Do you always wonder how Trump never seems to everything, nothing ever gets to him? I'm just, no, forget about being president, but you always wonder how people like nothing seems to, they so, can you, any of you go through all of that? So you've been in prison many times over, right? I know some of you may not, but that's just one person in my mind. And you do with who I vote for, don't vote for. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. This is what he thought. It's not what God is saying. I thought this. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Imagine that. The chain they wear around their neck is pride. It's arrogance. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limit. They scoff. They speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. In other words, they insult heaven. And their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Almighty know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. So, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. What is it? What is in it for me to be a holy, righteous, faithful believer? Why? And I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishment. That's his thinking. But if I had spoken out like that, if what was in my heart, I broadcast it. Like if Brother Bumi or Brother Wally or Sister Kemi or Sister Inofo, like if they were to actually tell you what is in their hearts, like this, he said, if I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. There is a sense in which over the past two decades, I think, Christians have been made to desensitize themselves from reality because we're told if we say it, it's negative confession. Not in the Bible. Bible, righteous people spoke, they complained to God. They actually questioned God reverently. They spoke to God how they felt. We've been told to do that is not faith. And that has made a lot of people very, very unreal. Let me tell you an area I found it. Have you noticed that when you tell many believers, especially those who are not here, that you are going through difficulties, you know the first thing they say, it shall be well. They never say, oh, that must be painful. They can feel with you. If you have no experience, talk to your brothers and friends in Nigeria. If you say you are going through anything, it shall be well. They have not expressed any kinship with your suffering yet. It did not happen automatically. It happened over time. In fact, I remember when I was at Deeper Life, short-term ministerial camp. And I remember Brother Shafet came and said something that was, it surprised me. Because, you know, I started under them, you know, Brother Kumuyi and Brother Prey and all of them. They were always talking about righteousness, holiness, and being upright. But I remember one of the leaders one day started saying something that came from Robert Schuller. And it struck me. This inconsistent. It was bloom where you are planted, but it was a deviation from what I'd heard before. I just bookmarked it. I did not think of it then. But later on, I saw increasingly our churches in Nigeria that were inspired by those who were members of the Scripture Union started to focus on our doing well here on earth because they become tired of the fact that people who were known to serve God either always wore bad clothing, went to the worst barber on earth, just it. They wanted to change the narrative. Paul said something to the church in Corinth. He said, I feared that the devil may have tempted you out of the simplicity that is in Christ. But when I think back now, I think that temptation came around about that time, not from that brother, but there was a theme. And eventually people started to, you know, name it, claim it. And the language changed. The discipleship guidelines changed from, if anyone wants to follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me, to, we are the king's kid. We walk in this. But the glory we were supposed to be displaying on this earth, we get the best jobs, we get the best houses, we marry the most beautiful people, and we are the healthiest. I started to notice that. Where has it brought us? Where has it brought us? It is not that there's no joy, that there's no rejoicing, that there's no prosperity in the Lord, but it has to be in the way God defines it. I always say, if the people who were the foundation of what we're doing, look at their lives. If Paul was like T.D. Jakes, you mentioned it. Yes, it was. If Paul was like T.D. Jakes, you will not have the letters in the Bible. You won't have them. And Paul said, we're the offscouring of all things. We're this, we're that. What? It won't be like that. No, let me ask you a question now. Does the Apostle Paul Peter resemble somebody like T.D. Jakes? No, you have to answer now. They look like Chris Okotie? Do they look like Chris Okotie to you? Do they look like Chris Oyakhilome? Do they look like, what's his name, Copeland, Kenneth Copeland? Do they sound like that? They don't. He said, if I had said this then, it would have betrayed your people. Surely, let's go back, verse 18. You place them on a slippery ground. Can you imagine? This is where God has placed the wicked, in a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed? Completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when awakes. When you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Do you want to go into this kind of lifestyle? No. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, see, this is what we call sanity. Sanity returns. The child of God is back to a child of God. I'm always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Afterwards, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, nothing I desire beside you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Let's do Sunday school. Say after me. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We could just end this today. We could finish here. Those who are far from you will perish. And you will destroy all who are faithful to you, unfaithful to you. You've heard me talk about my brother Michael, right? Brother is my closest person. When I heard last Saturday that my nephew Daniel had passed away, it was too much. Because I looked at my brother Michael, he's been faithful to God. I said, Lord, how come brother Michael goes through all this? He doesn't have a child who is in a good place. They've all, these are my nephews, Daniel, Zadok, Caleb, Ephraim, and my nieces, Olive and Shalom. They are very decent, God-fearing people. Because that's how my brother Michael raised them, by the grace of God. When I thought about it, when I spoke to him, it was too much. It was too painful. But then I said, where do we go? I called him. He said, I don't have any. What else do I have? In heaven, I have no one, but God. On earth, there's nobody. And that is the thing. That is a believer. I don't have any other thing but God. I don't know where else to turn. I don't have an alternative. I have no option B. I don't have any other option. It doesn't, suffering, death cannot. I don't have any other option. Do you have an option other than God? That is why Job said, even if he slay me, there's no other place to go. And it's a good place to have no option but God. My heart and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Forever. That's how hope works. Hope is not wishing. It is a waiting on God. That is actually where the word hope comes from. Yahar is to be eagerly expecting from someone. If you watch the eaglets, you know they cannot hunt. They cannot fly. You see how eager they are waiting for their parents to bring food. And then as soon as their parents come, they open their mouth. They're expecting something to drop. That's how they live. They have no other option. They cannot come down from the nest. They can't do anything but depend on their parents. That's how a believer is. So Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that. The Apostle Paul said something. He said, I know whom I have believed. He's able to keep everything I've entrusted into his hand until the very last day. Let's see, the short game will not win the match. It's the long game that we've been called into. So when they say, watch the upright, his end will be peace, is the end. So I thought about it. This week has been, and it was the same day that if you have close Jewish friends, what happened last Saturday will shock you, because we have not experienced Holocaust. I mean, we've as black, if you are black, we understand slavery. So anything that reminds you of that unspeakable horror, nobody can understand it. It's very hard to understand. And I asked God, where were you? And I stressed it, God, where were you? Heart and my heart, my flesh and my heart, they may fail. They truly will, because we are human. One of the greatest encouragement for us is that God became a human being. So you don't have to tell God what it's like. Not that he doesn't know. He always knew. But he wants us to help us. He became like us. Is that not what the book of Hebrews says? I will be opening too many scriptures. It says, he gave us a priest who can feel the infirmities, our weaknesses. So when we go to the throne of God, we are not talking to someone who say, I don't know what he's talking about. It's, Brother Babs, it's like
if you and I were talking about standing before, Professor Badejo, if you've never experienced it, it won't mean anything to you. But if you've been with Professor Bade, then you will understand. Jesus does. He is the second person in the Trinity. He is at the right Father's right hand. He understands. He's called a man of sorrows. What? Who made friendship with, well, you know what acquaintance is, right? Acquainted with grief. So when we talk among, it's just us now, right? When we believers are talking, that's why we're not popular. And the day people are lining up to come into this church, either there has been a worldwide revival or something is wrong. Those are the ways I'm going to, try and understand. It is either you've introduced an idol or God has broken through in a way that is once in a generation. That can happen. Where people are waiting at 5 a.m. to come in. That can happen when the Spirit of God really brings up a generation. But it can also happen if you've introduced an idol. My brothers and sisters, mothers and grandparents, uncles, I want to encourage you. Because this week, you can ask my wife. She can tell you that it's been a week of despair, grief, and just inability to even say what I can't. I don't know. It's confusion. I really don't know what I feel. Because there are so many layers to it. There's so many layers. See, my brother, you see, we've suffered in many ways. I'm the youngest of my siblings. They lifted me up to get out of poverty so that we could just get out of poverty, get out of the dunghill. We lost a sister that the accident was so bad, they almost did not want to go get the pieces to bury. That's my older sister. Came to faith. She told me once that I live among a house built with thorn. This is a thorny place. My house is made of thorns. But she became a believer. So we've lost that. And after she died, we lost two of her daughters. So when I think about it, I say, Lord, God said, hold on. You know a man called Job? Some of you said, Brother Elijah, please don't go there. Yeah. I will not read the book of Job, but I will read what James said about Job. Let's go to chapter 5 of Job. But I want to pause. Does anybody have a question or a comment? You know, we are brothers and sisters, so it can't just be me. I'm saying something there. I may have said something that will prompt a comment or an experience. If you do, please, do you just raise your hand? I'll give you the microphone to share. I'm happy that I'm here today because I could not be in another place today. I could not be in the fellowship that I did where these are people I know. I could not today. I could not have been. If you were in Ithaca, I would be nowhere. I'll be in my house. So it makes a lot of sense for me to come here. And you are not strangers to bereavement, to grief, to restoration, to promise, and to hope. You are not strangers to it, right? You are not. I know you. You are not strangers to it. The celebrations that we have been having, and it's good to celebrate it, to see our children, to see them going to Johns Hopkins, to, Similolu going to school, to see Darian looking for a job now, and all of the things that are happening to us, it is right that we should rejoice. Because the Bible says there is a time to cry, there is a time to rejoice. It is right that we do all those things. Give thanks to God. Sorrow together because we've done it together. We've been to funeral parlors and wept. We've done it. So it's also good that we are able to be at graduation ceremonies and also rejoice. Naming ceremonies and also rejoice. All of those are part and parcel of our human experience in Christ. In James chapter 5, The apostle, so this, remember, so this is James or Jacob, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the James who is the brother of John. That one was killed. But this is the brother of the Lord Jesus. One of them who has said to the Lord, why don't you go up to Jerusalem so everybody will see you? Because they had not yet believed in him then. But here, he's a servant of the Lord. Okay. What's your name? Yes, yes. Don't shake your head. Come on. Come on. Come on, read for me. All right. So I want you to read. You can bring your Bible, but if you can see this, then just read it out. So James chapter 5 from verse 7. And we're going to read it to verse 12. No, actually, you're going to read all the way to the end. Okay, so take your time whenever you're ready.
Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear. Do not by heaven or by hurt or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith with them will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Thank you. So are you in the college already? Okay. Yeah, you part where is that Howard? Yeah. Okay, good. So do you belong to a fellowship at Howard? Start a home group in your room. You'll be the prayer, you'll be the Bible study leader. She will tell you how to organize a small group. Okay. I will check on you in 3 months. I'll talk to you later. Okay, God, thank you for reading. Okay. So remember that James and the rest, they were not scholars. They were not professional writers. So when they wrote epistles to the churches, it was out of necessity. They were fishermen, some of them. I mean, probably James was raised in the same, you know, carpentry or masonry shop that the Lord was raising. They were not scholars, but they wrote out of the pressure of the Holy Spirit within them. And so it brings a lot of things together. He says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Okay. But when Jezebel came to Elijah and said, if I do not kill, by tomorrow, if you are not dead, what did Elijah do? He fled. When he got to God, so God said, Elijah, so what are you doing here? God is very funny. When you read the Bible, do you know that God has a sense of humor? God knows everybody. He said, Elijah, so by the way, why are you here? What are you doing here? God knows. Elijah said, I'm not better than my fathers. Just kill me. He went to go and said, kill me. You take me away. I'm not better than my father's. So you're laughing now, right? You're not better than your father's. You just commanded rain not to fall for 3.5 years. It did not. This Elijah that would not see death. You're not better than your father's. That's, he went to God and goes, I think I know what's going on with this servant of mine. First, he gave angels to just go and eat and rest and just fed him for a while, just restored him such a sleep. Then after a while, he told him, he made him an international prophet. He said, you think you've been doing something? Now I'm going to make you anointed king. Not in Israel, Damascus. When, you know, he became a prophet to another nation. And then God said, okay, you can come home now. And he did not die. That's, you know, I think of, if you don't know the legacy of our African-American brothers, I want you to take some time. You know what they call the Negro spirituals? It's one of the greatest blessings of the Lord to our, to the church, to the faith. Because these songs were not written by people who were comfortable. In the furnace of fire, they came up with a strong faith. They understood God. They knew the messenger who was telling them that they should not read, but preaching the gospel to them or telling, reading the Bible. They were not worthy messengers, but they knew the message was good. They knew the messenger was not worthy of the message, but the message was worthy. It was through them that hymns like this came. Precious Lord, take my hand. Stand by me. By and by, there's a song called I Was by the Bedside of a Neighbor. You know the song? I was by the bedside of a neighbor who was about to cross the Jordan to the other side. What is, so you know why I'm sharing that with you? That was a song I learned during one of our darkest nights when we lived in Luton. And my wife understands. I'll be coming back from London, where we were just starting the fellowship in Brother Maro Julu's living room, what is now Edmonton New Covenant Church. But I knew that my wife was ill. And we were, you know, running to the hospital. Then I would, if I call the taxi and I said to them, they would say, where do you live? 112 Dorrington Close. You're going to the hospital. They knew. They just, if I called, they knew I, that's where we're going. So one of these days, and I'm coming back on Thursday, because I was the pastor, you know, Thursday was our home group, Sunday was our regular service. So I'll take the train from Luton to St. Pancras, then from there take the bus to Seven Sisters, and then eventually get to the place. Then do that back, and my wife will be with your OT, who was 4 years old. And it's coming back, this song, I Was by the Bedside of a Neighbor. It's a song, it's an African-American classic. You know what the song says? He said, I told the friend of mine who is about to go. He said, I said to him, when you get there, tell the Savior that when you saw me, I was on my way. He said, don't forget to tell the Savior that you saw me. And when you saw me, where was I? I'm on my way. He said, don't forget to tell the Savior, get a place ready for me. What inspires this kind of faith? Tom Dorsey, who wrote Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, lest I fall. This is how the song came about. What time is it? 11:40. So Thomas Dorsey, who is now called the father of Black Gospel, there was a gathering, you know, Church of God in Christ, and all of the Black churches would come together, bring their choirs. That's where people like Sam Cooke came from. A lot of our people came from singing in the church. He was supposed to, so he was going to St. Louis in Missouri. That's where the meeting was being held. He's in Chicago. So he took a train, but when he got to St. Louis, he got a telegram. His wife was expecting a baby, and they told him to return because his wife had passed away. When he came, he found that both the baby and the mother were gone.
So he buried them and one night sat by the piano. He thought about going back to the blues, to play the blues. You know, I ain't got no money, I ain't got no woman. Those blue bag songs. He wanted to go back to them. And he said while he was there, just running his hand through the keys, this wave of refreshness from a fresh, a refreshing from the Lord came to him. That's how that song, you can pull it up and read us the lyrics. Precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. Can you feel it? Okay, read it to us.
Precious Lord. Precious Lord, take my hand. Sorry. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm lone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows dreary, precious Lord, linger near. When my light is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand. Guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm lone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
So say it after me like a prayer. Let's collect ourselves like a prayer. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. So this is the faith of our people, of God's people. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, is the psalm of somebody who knew the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Those are these songs that have come out from people who have known the Lord and who have gone through the ups and downs. There's an incident, and I'll be closing soon. There's an incident that happened in the life of David. You know, David was a champion. Many things happened to him, but there was one day that David was running away from Saul. He was running away from Saul and living a guerrilla's life. When he came back to his camp, he discovered that they have raided and taken his wife and children and the other soldiers who were with him. He said they lifted up their voice, they wept. They wanted to stone David. They wanted to kill David because on account of him, they lost their wives, lost their children. They were taken captive and the Bible, and they were so discouraged. Do you know what the Bible says of David? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He took some time aside to go through the Rolodex of God's dealings with him. I'm sure you do, right? You have some cards that you turn. God did this for me. You just heard me say, you know, in Luton, God did this for us. You know, that child that my wife, you know, where my wife is here now, a full professor, and that child that we're talking about, it's a server who is,
Seba is working. He's living his life. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then ask God, what should I do? Should I run? Should I chase this group? God said, yes. Will I recover them? God said, yes, you will. The servant of God. God, should I go after them? The natural instinct is to go after them, right? We say, God, should I do it? God said, do. Will I recover them? God said, you will. And that's what happened. So when David said, I've been young, I'm old now, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No, he said, begging bread. It doesn't mean that sometimes the children of the righteous do not go hungry. Because sometimes when they are talking of now and in the last, in the days to come. Because the final chapter for all the weak, for all the righteous is this. They will hunger no more. You remember it? Okay, let's read it now. It's in Revelation chapter 22. From 20, we will first read 20, then we'll read 22. Not all of the promises that you and I have been given will be fulfilled in this life. That's why we are waiting. So that the hope we talk about is the hope that allows us to anticipate what is to come. So, first, I'm going to read, let's just go to chapter 21. Sorry, I'm going to read chapter 21 of Revelation. And I'm going to read this. This is what we're looking forward to. This is not the pie in the sky. This is not fantasy. This is not, we're just doing this to make people forget about life here on earth. No, our father Abraham patterned his life on this. Even though God had promised him, you remember one night God brought him out and he said, look at the stars. That's how your descendants will be. And he told him to walk up and down. Up and down. He said, you see all of these places, I give it to you. But Abraham was building tents. Abraham was living in shacks. God gave you all this. Go read and see how much Abraham had. Had so much, but Abraham did not build a permanent structure. The only permanent structure he had was where he buried Sarah. The Bible tells us the reason. Abraham wanted a city whose architect and builder is God. That's where he wanted to go. So when people say we are just, it's a pie in the sky. No, that's like our father. Our father who looked to that which is to come. Because, brothers and sisters, however much we like it, 99.9, how many percent that most of us are going to taste death? Is it 100% or 99%? Unless the Lord comes before that. But if the Lord tarries for another 100 years, maybe. Tisha, you may not, but I don't know. But most of us here would taste it because it is certain. But that's not the end. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never die. But at the end, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Lord, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. What will he do? Read it with me. Everybody, read it with me. Verse 4. He will wipe. That's true. That's what we build our hope in. So when in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said, we rejoice in the grace of God. But we also rejoice in another thing, What is it? He said, we also rejoice in our suffering. So Brother Loja will say, oh, rejoice when you are suffering. It's not me. It's not me who is saying it. Romans chapter 5, we'll end here. Verse 1. Okay. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. Wait, one, two, bring it and we're all going to read it together. From verse 1. Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. Okay, so let's go. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that our tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Brother Kunle, you are still tied to the old English. Okay. All right. It's good. It says, hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame. In other words, when the time to deliver the goods come, you are not left empty. You know, it doesn't work. No, hope does not, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given us. The Holy Spirit is a representation of the fact that God has made a down payment. He will collect. God will finish everything. But it's also the reason why we know we've received the promises of Abraham. And it's also the reason why we know that we are God's children, because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Father. Let's stop here today. Brother Kunle, come. Man. Let us pray. Come on. Brother Detola, come on. Sister F, Sister Folake, come on. Sister Ronke, come on. All of you powerful people, come and pray for us. Come on. Come on. You don't all have to pray, but it would be nice. We will all, so let's come. All right. So let us all pray together. Let us all stand up. And I'm going to leave this microphone for us, those of you who just feel like committing all of us into God's hand. Praising God for his faithfulness. I don't need to tell you, but pray for us. So whoever wants, let's pray.
Father Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together in one accord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you pray for us. We thank you for your message this morning. We thank you for the hope we have in you. Father, indeed, that's what keeps us going. There's so many things going on around the world now that we can easily get discouraged. But Lord, we look to you and we ask that you continue to give us strength. Father, do not let us be discouraged by the rumors of wars, by just all that is going on. Because Lord, we know that you are in control. Father, Lord, you are the one in control of the earth. You created it all. So Lord, we look to you. And we ask that you continue to direct us. Father, Lord, we pray for Brother Lodge's family, for Beyi, for the children, for the grandchildren, for Brother Lodge as well. Thank you, Father Almighty God, for the strength you have given them. Thank you, Lord, because they have been an inspiration to us all. Lord, I pray that they would not be discouraged, regardless of what, Father, Lord, they're going through. the storm at this time. Father, Lord, we know that their expected end is good. And Father, we pray that they will continue to rest in you. Father, help us all. Many of us too are going through one thing or the other. But Lord, we thank you because we know that our hope is in you. And Father, because of that, we can face tomorrow. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord Almighty. And we just thank you because your joy, Father, indeed will be our strength. And Father Almighty God, we will not lose focus of who you are in our lives. Father, Lord, your word tells us that if the eye be single, the body will be full of light. So, Lord, I pray that you let our eyes be single. Let our gaze, let our focus be on you so that, Lord, we would not lose hope. Father, Lord, so that, Lord, we would not sleep, Almighty God, because we know that that is what the enemy wants to do, Lord. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But, Lord, he would have no... Father, Lord, that he would have no way in our lives because, Lord, we would hold on to you. And, Lord, I know that you would not let us go. So thank you for this body of Christ. Thank you, Almighty God, for just all you're doing in our lives. We give you all the glory. When we look back and when we look at where we are today, we know that it is your doing. And also, Lord, we... just like our brother had prayed earlier regarding what is going on in the Middle East, even in Northern Nigeria as well, in Ukraine. Father, there's just so much that our hearts can't be heavy. There are times I don't even want to listen to the news anymore because it's just one bad news or the other. Even here in Washington, D.C., Lord, the nation's capital, every day there's killing. There's just one thing or the other. So, Lord, we ask that your spirit go, Lord Almighty, with all the children in the city of in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. There's just so much, just too many things going on. So, Almighty God, we pray that your spirit, Lord, will be upon these cities, Lord, that you lift up people, Lord, who will speak to you, Lord Almighty, who will continue to raise our voices for our children, Almighty God, that, Lord, they would know you, Father in heaven, that, Lord, they will hold on to you because, Lord, you are our hope. We have no one but you. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.
Our Father and our God, we just want to thank you. Lord, we declare, because we know it is settled in our hearts that you love us. And so we thank you once again that we can come here and be here to be in your presence and just bask in your presence. Father, thank you, because from our hearts, we are grateful. Oh Lord, we want to thank you once again because you said in your word that neither death, angels, things to come, things present, troubles will separate us from you. So these are things that are settled in our hearts that we know. Father, but help us that these things appear real to us, O God. Father, when we go through our trials, our tribulations, and the testings of our faith, please hear us. Be near to us, O Lord. Father, there's no one we have except you. And because you say, and you've declared it in everything you have created to show that you love us. We are just a speck in the whole of the universe. But yet you care for us, and there's nothing that was made that was not made because of us. So Lord, we thank you and we ask you to help us that when we have doubt in our hearts, it's okay to ask from you. It's okay to tell you about this doubt and these fears. Help us, oh God, as we stand here today, Father, to love you more, to seek you more, to open up to you more. Father, we pray for everyone here. Whatever we are going through, whatever it is that troubles our heart, be and come along with us, O Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, stay the hand of the devourer, stay the hand of oppression from evil. Lord, stay it upon everyone here, O Lord. Father, just want to pray again and use Brother Lodger as a point of contact. Everyone going through whatever, Lord, that they will come through knowing that God is with us. Lord, your word in Psalm 73 is so comforting. Help us to remember every day that these are true and very good sayings. Be the God of our heart, the strength of our heart. When even we fail, be the God and the strength of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Christ lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, my life is worth a living just because Christ lives. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for a time like this. You are Heavenly Father. You are the one by whom nothing happens by accident. You put everything in perfect place. Your word says that not even the hair on our head falls out without you knowing. You care about every detail of everyone. You're the one that goes after the one and leaves the 99 behind. You care for everyone as though they were the only one. You have a place in your heart for everybody. Father, Lord, I just want to pray for every one of us here and those listening and those that will listen to this message. I know that you are doing something in our midst, Lord. Father, Lord, open our eyes to see you seated upon the throne. Open our eyes to see you as the Almighty. Because you're Jehovah Elroy, you see us where we are, whatever it is. And thank God, because the Lord Jesus says that there's nothing we go through that you cannot relate to. You came down on earth so you can know, so you can feel. Lord, please have mercy. It is guaranteed that we will walk, there will be troubles, but we take solace in your words that says that we have overcome. Thank you, because our hope is beyond here. You have something great prepared for us. As we go through these times, give us all that we need to come out victorious on the other end. I pray, Lord, that you will use us, Lord, even to reach those around us. That when those that do not know you, when they have troubles,
they will come to us, not for any man to take the glory, but for us to point them to you who has all the answers. Thank you, Lord, for being in our midst. And I pray, Lord, for every one of us here. Let us not be like the one that said the Lord was here, but I knew it not. That which you have apportioned for us, I pray, Lord, that it will be established, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being a real God. He thou exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, merciful God, we want to say thank you. We do not just thank you for being merciful and kind to us, but today, Father Logo, we want to thank you for the truth that you use, Brother Aloja, Brabuni, Brawali, to spew out from this pulpit. Father Logo, we pray and ask, Father Logo, that as this truth continues to go forth, Father Logo, that lives will be touched, that people will turn around. We pray that this truth will speak to people's life, Father Logo. Another truth has come forth today. It's not just to have faith or to believe, but to hope in you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we continue to hope in you, Lord Jesus, Father, establish us, Lord Jesus. Father, Lord God, let our feet, Father, Lord God, be deep-rooted in the truth of the word of Christ. Father, that we may reflect you out there, Lord Jesus, by what we do, what we say, and how we interact. Father, Lord God, that people will see us and they will say they see Christ in you, they see Jesus in you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everybody that is here. We thank you for the different ways, Father, Lord God, that you've made them vessels of dispelling your truth. Is it the choir? Is it the ushers? Father, we pray for strength for everybody. For everyone that has one challenge or the other, Father, Lord God, we hear of good things. We hear of tribulations. In everything, we return all glory unto you and we say thank you. Your word says we should rejoice even in tribulation. Father, Lord God, we say thank you. Because even through tribulation, Father, Lord God, you raise great men. Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you because as we go forth this week, Lord Jesus, Father, we know that you will speak to us again. We know that your word that has come forth today, Father, Lord God, will bring a revitalizing in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our brother here from Ithaca. Lord Jesus, we pray that it is well with him. It shall be well with him. We pray, Lord Jesus, because you have done so much. The stories of the journey, Lord Jesus, speaks to but your greatness, Lord Jesus. Speaks to but your might and your plans for him. Just as every one of us here, Lord Jesus, you have plans for us. Father, Lord God, may our hope and trust in you not fail. Father, Lord God, in recounting what he says, Lord Jesus, Father, the truth and the truth only shall continue to come from this pulpit. Father, Lord God, no idol shall ever be introduced in this place. Father, we thank you because you commune with us. We thank you, Father, Lord God, because you relate with us. Thank you for our leaders here, Lord Jesus. Thank you for even the subordinates. We bless and glorify your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we close, let's pray these blessings. Father, Lord, we also pray for Christians all over the world, that as we see the day approaching, O God, that you'll keep our brethren, everyone in every area where they are being persecuted, let your strength and your grace remain with them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for our brethren, Brother Aloja, Sister Bayi, and our Sister Lady, as they go back to Ithaca. Pray for a safe journey for them, O God. That, Lord, we will hear good about them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you all. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. And the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Before we leave, I'd like us to let's be present, sisters. Let's be present. I'd like us to spend some time. I just pray for Brother Michael. It's we have been praying.